In the late 1960s and early 70s, Northern California was gripped by an enigma that would become one of the most terrifying mysteries in true crime history. A shadowy figure, self-dubbed the Zodiac Killer, embarked on a sinister spree, leaving a trail of unsolved murders and taunting the police and public with cryptic ciphers and chilling phone calls. This mastermind of terror not only eluded capture, but crafted a persona that would haunt the collective consciousness long after the killings stopped. This is the Dark History Project. The Zodiac Killer's reign of terror began with seemingly random attacks on young couples in secluded areas, but his modus operandi quickly evolved into a complex game of cat and mouse, with the authorities punctuated by his communications with local newspapers. These letters baffled cryptographers for decades and threatened more violence, all while the Zodiac claimed a growing victim count that he insinuated reached into the dozens. Yet, despite one of the most extensive manhunts in U.S. history, the Zodiac Killer's identity remains a mystery. This is a journey into the abyss, an attempt to shine a light on one of the darkest puzzles of the 20th century. Welcome to the mystery of the Zodiac Killer. The beginnings of terror. The saga of the Zodiac Killer began in the late 1960s when a series of brutal murders rocked Northern California. The first officially attributed attack of the Zodiac Killer occurred on the night of December 20, 1968, on Lake Herman Road near Benicia. High school students Betty Lou Jensen and David Faraday planned to spend a pre-Christmas evening together, but their innocent date ended in tragedy. They were found shot to death by an unknown assailant, marking the beginning of a series of chilling crimes that would baffle authorities and terrorize the public. This initial act of violence was a prelude to a calculated campaign of terror that escalated in audacity and cruelty. Each attack was seemingly random and targeted young couples in secluded areas, but it was the killer's direct communication with police and media that truly distinguished the Zodiac from other murderers of his time. A killer communicates. The Zodiac Killer's notoriety grew, not just from the brutality of his crimes, but from his direct communication with the press and law enforcement. He sent a series of letters to local newspapers beginning in 1969, in which he claimed responsibility for the murders and provided details only the killer could know. He even went so far as taunting the police and included ciphers that he claimed contained his identity. The first of these letters was sent to Vallejo Times-Herald, the San Francisco Chronicle, and the San Francisco Examiner. Alongside his confessions, the Zodiac included a three-part cipher known as the 408 symbol cipher, which he claimed would reveal his identity if solved. A couple, Donald and Betty Hardin, amateur cryptographers, successfully deciphered this cipher, but it contained no direct information about the killer's identity, instead presenting a chilling message in which the killer expressed enjoyment in killing people. The murders continue. Over the next several years, several more murders were attributed to the Zodiac. On July 4, 1969, Darlene Farron and Michael Maggio were shot in a parking lot in Vallejo. Maggio survived despite being shot multiple times, while Farron was killed. Just over a month later, on September 27, 1969, Brian Hartnell and Cecilia Shepard were attacked while picnicking at Lake Berryessa in Napa County. Shepard succumbed to her injuries, but Hartnell survived and was able to describe their assailant, a man wearing a black executioner-style hood with the Zodiac's symbol on his chest. Perhaps the most brazen of the Zodiac's murders occurred on October 11, 1969, when cab driver Paul Stein was shot in the head at point-blank range in the Presidio Heights neighborhood of San Francisco. This murder was initially dismissed as a routine robbery homicide, but the Zodiac soon claimed responsibility, mailing a piece of Stein's bloodstained shirt to the Chronicle. The investigation and suspects. Over the years, several suspects have emerged, each with varying degrees of connection to the crimes. First, Ross Sullivan emerged as a suspect due to his presence in Riverside, where Sherry Jo Bates was murdered in 1966, a crime initially not attributed to the Zodiac but later speculated to be his work. Sullivan matched the physical description of the Zodiac and was known for his peculiar interest in cryptograms. He was also hospitalized for bipolar disorder and schizophrenia, which some theorize could relate to the Zodiac's erratic behavior. Lawrence Kane was linked to the Zodiac case through his possible involvement in the disappearance of Donna Lass in 1970. He was identified by a victim who survived an abduction attempt. Kane had a history of violent behavior and had suffered a brain injury, which might have affected his impulse control. He lived in the vicinity of several Zodiac attacks and had been arrested for prowler activity near one of the crime scenes. Bruce Davis, a known associate of Charles Manson, was considered a suspect due to his connection with the Manson family's murderous activities, his presence in California during the Zodiac killings, and his involvement in crimes that demonstrated a capacity for violence. However, concrete evidence linking Davis to the Zodiac murders have been elusive. Arthur Lee Allen stands out among all suspects for the depth of circumstantial evidence against him. A convicted criminal with a questionable character, Allen became a focal point of the investigation, largely due to a combination of personal admissions, witness statements, and physical evidence that created a mosaic of suspicion. He owned a Zodiac brand watch, lived in the area where several murders occurred, and resembled the composite sketch of the Zodiac. Friends and acquaintances recounted Allen's statements that eerily mirrored the Zodiac's actions and communications, including his mention of wanting to kill people and use the name Zodiac. The search of Allen's residence yielded disturbing items, but crucially, no direct evidence tying him to the Zodiac's crimes. Despite his death in 1992, Allen remains a figure of intense scrutiny and debate. Advances in forensic science, particularly DNA testing, have yet to conclusively link him to the Zodiac murders, leaving his guilt or innocence an unresolved question. Here's what I find interesting about Allen. The last letter authenticated by authorities to have been sent by the Zodiac came on January 29th, 1974. This letter sent to the San Francisco Chronicle was a review of the movie The Exorcist, which the Zodiac described as the best satirical comedy that I have ever seen. Additionally, he included a new score, Me equals 37, SFPD equals 0, purportedly updating his murder count. This communication, like those before it, was characterized by a mocking tone toward the police and an unsettling blend of ego and anonymity. It has been considered by some as a potential final sign-off from the Zodiac, marking a cryptic end to his direct taunts. Allen's legal troubles, notably for charges unrelated directly to the Zodiac killings, provide a timeline that can be examined in relation to the Zodiac's communications. Allen was arrested on September 27, 1974. He was convicted and subsequently imprisoned. This arrest occurred months after the last authenticated Zodiac letter was received. Comparing these timelines, a key observation is the absence of authenticated Zodiac letters after Allen's incarceration. While this fact has been pointed to by some as circumstantial evidence suggesting Allen's involvement, it is crucial to note the speculative nature of this correlation. The Zodiac's letters were erratic in frequency and content, making it challenging to draw definitive conclusions from the timing of their cessation. Furthermore, the Zodiac case is marked by disputed claims and letters, with several communications received by newspapers and law enforcement after 1974 that have either not been authenticated or are widely considered hoaxes. The gap in the timeline between the last authenticated Zodiac letter and Allen's arrest and subsequent imprisonment does little to conclusively link Allen to the Zodiac murders. The investigation into the Zodiac killer has been complicated by the killer's cunning manipulation of the public and police attention, the passage of time, and the limitations of forensic technology, especially in the early years of the case. While Allen remains a compelling suspect due to various pieces of circumstantial evidence and coincidences, the absence of direct, incontrovertible evidence means that his exact relationship to the Zodiac murders, if any, remains unsolved. Arthur Lee Allen's case encapsulates the enigma of the Zodiac killer. A blend of tantalizing clues, frustrating dead ends, and the haunting possibility that the true identity of one of America's most notorious serial killers might never be revealed. The fixation on Allen, while understandable given the circumstantial evidence, underscores the broader challenges and obsessions that have defined the Zodiac case for decades. The Zodiac killer's legacy is a complex interplay of fear, fascination, and frustration. His ability to evade capture and the cryptic nature of his communications have made this case a subject of endless speculation and analysis. The Zodiac's impact extends beyond the immediate sphere of his crimes, influencing popular culture, law enforcement techniques, and the field of criminal psychology. For law enforcement, the Zodiac case underscored the importance of interagency cooperation and the importance of forensic science, leading to significant advancements in crime-solving methodologies. This case underscores the complexities of human behavior, propelling a cultural fascination with true crime that endures today. It's a stark reminder of the darkness that can lurk in the human psyche and the enduring quest for justice in the face of evil. Thank you for being with us for this episode of The Dark History Project. Please help us out by liking this video. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button below. We're available on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else you can listen to podcasts. We hope you enjoyed it, and our next episode will come out soon. See you then.